Welcome, everybody, to Martinsville Community Methodist. It's a beautiful day outside, and we just rejoice in the sunshine and the rain. Please join me as we open our service in prayer. Father in heaven, we continually look for your guidance and wisdom. As we open your word today, we rejoice and take great glee in our singing, because you said, make a joyful noise. Also, we pray that we can be a witness and a testimony to the love of Jesus Christ right here in Martinsville. And Lord, we want to lift up those people who are not here, and we rejoice in the fact that there are many of us who are here today to sing and rejoice. And so, Lord, we wish to open our time with the Lord's Prayer. Join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Stand and join me in the call to worship. With eyes to see and ears to hear, with lips to sing and hands to help, let us worship God with the fullness of our being. Now open your hymnal to page 799. 799, we'll go through Psalms 78. Please read with me. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings from old, things that have been heard and known that our forebears have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation, the glorious deeds of our Lord, the might and wonders of God has wrought. The Ephraimites, armed with the bow, turned back on the day of the battle. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to God's law. They forgot the deeds of the Lord and miracles that God had shown them. The Lord wrought marvels in the sight of their forebears in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. The Lord divided the sea and let them pass through it, and he made waters stand like a heap. Lead them with a cloud in the daytime, and at night with a fiery light. Cleft rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink abundant, as from a deep. Made streams come out of rock, and caused water to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned still more against God, rebelled against the mighty high in the desert. They tested God in their hearts by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? Indeed, God struck the rock, and so the water gushed out, and streams overflowed. Can God also give bread to provide meat for people? They did not believe in his wonders, so God made their days like a breath, turned their years into terror. Whenever God slew them, they would inquire after God, repent and seek God earnestly. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer, whom they flattered with their mouths, to whom they lied with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast towards God, and they were not true to God's covenant. Yet God, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. So, the reading of the Psalms. Today's text comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them, and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid it, his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one who had received 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But the master answered him and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more shall be given, and he who have an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, into the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we open up your parable, as we read through it and try to gain insights into your kingdom of what you're trying to tell us, Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts, open our minds, give us an imagination to see the story play out in our mind, so it will touch our hearts and move us to be faithful servants, so that we too can hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. So parables. This is one of those parables. What are parables about? What do they do? What are they for? Well, a parable is usually a short, fictitious story that illustrates a moral or a spiritual truth. And of course, in Jesus' case, many times he used lots of parables to reveal secrets or mysteries of the kingdom. And we can find this intention a little bit back farther in Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. And the disciples came to him, "Why do you speak in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return, and I would heal them. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. So I want you to see clearly stated that in the parables, gives you an opportunity to understand the kingdom of God. But yet it is hidden in plain sight. Jesus told the parables and tells us that for us who have the Holy Spirit, we gain understanding and wisdom, and he reveals these hidden secrets. But to those that are not part of his kingdom, they are hidden. So to the non-believer, it is not granted for them to understand these parables. But yet the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and opens our ears so that we may gain understanding and know the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom. And this is all to fulfill prophecy. And this wasn't just for back then, it's even for today. But you note the promise in verse 15. I don't know if you caught that. It says, "For the hearts of the people become dull, with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." I want you, there's a promise. As you understand the mysteries of the kingdom, Jesus will heal you spiritually, Jesus will heal you physically. As you understand how the kingdom works, how his rule and reign is organized, how we can participate and call on his name. So as we dig into the parable, our goal is to understand not the technical aspects of the language, but to understand the mysteries of the kingdom that are hidden in plain sight. So let us sift through this story and find the mysteries of the kingdom of Jesus. But I want to point out, there are two stories in our Gospels that are so similar to one another. And I want to read the account in Luke that's quite different, but I want you to hear some of the similarities before I step through this one. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Starting at verse 11 and ending at 27. While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went to a distant country, received a kingdom for himself, and then returned. When he called his 10 slaves and gave them 10 minas, and said to them, 'Do business with this until I come back.' But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this men to reign over us.' When he returned and received his kingdom, he ordered the 10 slaves to whom money was given be called to him, that he might know what business they had done. First appeared, saying, 'Master, your menina has made me 10 meninas.' And he said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You've been faithful in very little thing. You are to be in authority over 10 cities.' The second came to him and saying, 'Your menina, master, has made 5 meninas.' And he said to him also, 'You will be over 5 cities.' Another came to him saying, 'Master, here's your menina, which I put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid, because you are an exacting man, you take up what you did not lay down and reap where you do not sow.' He said to him, 'By your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you not know that I am an exacting man, taking what I do not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest.' And then he said to the bystanders, 'Take this menina away and give it to him who has 10 meninas.' And he said to him, 'Master, he has 10 meninas already. I tell you, everyone who has more shall be given but from the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. But these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence." So as you can see in that particular reading of the parable, it's a different parable, but there's so many similarities to it. But the parable listed in Matthew, it's kind of positioned differently than where it is positioned in Luke. Because as he's telling parables, the parable that's told before the parable of the talents, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. And I do not think this is something accident. Okay? This is not something that's just happenstance. It was done on purpose, because this parable of the 10 virgins, and if you're not familiar with it, the bridegroom is away. You've got the 10 virgins waiting for them. 5 had stored up oil. The other 5 had not. And they had to run off to the market. And while they were gone at the market, the bridegroom returned, came, and shut the door, leaving 5 locked out. And it ends like this. "Later, the other virgins came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" He says, "Be on alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." And I think that is placed before the parable of talents, because it helps us understand what Jesus is trying to communicate in the parable of the talents. Because verse 14, we've got a man about to go on a journey. In hindsight, if we look, Christ is talking about this and adding the other parable I read. It talked about people are expecting the kingdom to immediately come. And Jesus is rattling off a parable that there was a man who went away on a journey, planning on coming back later. And so we look at Christ, and the time he's talking to them, he's communicating that Christ was going to go on a journey. In fact, he did. He went up to be with his heavenly Father, sitting on the right hand, claiming his kingdom. And so there's so many promises, because he also promised to return. And he left 11 men in charge of his church. Just like in the story, he had 3 in the story, but in reality, he had 11. And he added Paul later in Acts. He was the 12th man. So you can see from the very start of the parable, we see similarities to what's going on with the new church and Jesus going away to claim his kingdom. And then verse 15, it uses the word talents. Now, I want you to understand that the word talent, even though in English we have the word talent, it means the abilities we have, that's not the meaning of the word here. The meaning of the word here means silver, cash, that point. Looking at some of my research, it says there's between 82 and 94 pounds of silver coins. And note the amounts. One man got 500 pounds of silver coins. The other man got 200 pounds of silver coins. And the last guy got 100 pounds of silver coins. And each person was given that amount based on his ability. And I want you to see that's very important, because as we look at the mystery of the kingdom and try to understand what this is trying to reveal, each of us, when we come into the kingdom of God, when Christ brings us into the church by his blood sacrifice, he gives us the Holy Spirit. And he gives us different abilities in the Holy Spirit, or gifts of the Spirit. And so all of this kind of wraps together to what is kind of going on in the parable. And so he went on a journey, and Jesus told his disciples to wait until the Helper arrived, and that was the Holy Spirit. And in receiving the Holy Spirit, they received power. And each person did not receive the same power or ability. They had different gifts. They spoke different languages. They all didn't speak the same language. If you remember the day of Pentecost, they each spoke different languages, and everybody in the crowd who came from different parts of the world could understand what was being said because they heard each of their mother tongue languages being spoken. Some had the gift of healing. Peter and Paul both had the gift of healing people, but not all the disciples had. And then even there was Philip. I don't remember if his story. He was out talking to the eunuch, and the eunuch said, well, can you baptize me? And they went and found some water and dunked him, and suddenly he was transported away to a totally different city. That wasn't happening to the other disciples. So the gifts that they are given are not equal. Just like here in the parable, one person got 5 bags of silver, another one got 2 bags of silver, and he gave one to the last guy. And in verse 16 and 17, it talks about in the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents, 16, immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. They went out enthusiastically. They worked hard for their master, and they doubled their return. And you know what? To me, this kind of sounds like the story of the sower who went and cast the seed, some of it landing on the path, some of it landing on the ground that had very little soil, some of it landing in the thorns, and part of it landing in the good soil. And the story talks about how there was a harvest reaped. And so I think as we look and try to reveal the mystery here, the trading that they're doing is to bring people into God's kingdom, to plant for harvest, to go out and work, not to pull in cash, but to pull in souls. And remember, when Jesus started his ministry with many of these disciples who were fishermen, he said, I will make you fishers of men. But verse 18, but he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. I want you to understand, that's not what the disciples did. In hiding his master's money, this is one clear, he didn't follow instructions. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. His master told him to go out and trade, take risks. But instead, he disobeyed his master. He was a rebellious soul. He decided instead of working for his master, to go out and do his own thing. Whatever that might be. But it wasn't what was on the master's agenda. It was what was on his agenda. Now, I want to be honest. I can see a lot of that in the church. You've got people that are working very hard for Christ. They are dedicating their lives, their fortunes, their time, their honor. And then there's other people that are just darn rebellious. They're in the church, but they're not doing the things that the church is supposed to do. And note, in verse 19, it says, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Well, after a long time, you know, I'm thinking 2,000 years since Christ left has been a long time. And so even when he's telling the story at that time, I think it's being very clearly communicated in the mystery of the kingdom that Jesus wasn't going away for a year or two. Jesus was going away for a long time. And so if we follow along with the line of the story is taking and comparing it to the kingdom, we know that Christ one day will call us up in the air, what we call the rapture, and we will meet him. And when we meet him, we know that he will be giving out rewards. And it'll be rewards based on the effort, time, and works that we've put in based on the things he's given us to work with. And we want to hear those words that we hear right here in verses 20 and 21. Then one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted me with 5. See, I've gained 5 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. These are the words we want to hear. We want to hear those words, well done. We want to hear those words, you were faithful in a little. I will put you in charge of many things. And in fact, both John and Paul point out that we will reign with Christ when we meet with him again. So this talking about being in charge of many things here in this parable, it's clear that in the kingdom, those of us that are faithful, doing what God wants, out there trading, out there seeking for souls and trying to pull souls in, they will rule and reign with Christ. And let me read that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, one verse. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Just like in the parable he's talking about. He says, enter into the joy of your master. Here, Paul is talking about we will rule and reign with Christ. And there is other areas in that thread through the New Testament that if we're faithful on earth, we will be given authority in heaven. And so not only do we see this in 1st, 2nd Timothy, but we see it right here in this parable and the other parable. And then there's verse 22 and 23. And the one who received 2 talents came up to him and said, Master, you've entrusted 2 talents to me. See, gain 2 more. The master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You're faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Note that between the first and the second, they both received the same reward. They were told to enter into your master's joy. John 15 says, things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Joy is an important thing. Christ wants us to have his joy. At the end, when it's said and done, because we've been faithful, he wants us to be joyful with him and enter his joy. But then there's the other side of the coin here, verse 24 through 28. And then, And the one who had received one talent came to him up to him and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scatter no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But the master answered and said to him, You wicked slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I did not scatter seed. You ought to have put my money in the bank, and on arrival I would have received the money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him, give it to the one who has 10 talents, for everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. Throw out this worthless slave into the outer darkness, in the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, as I read this passage, I have it very difficult to see this as a believer, as a follower of Christ, somebody who is obeying the Master, seeking the what the Master wants. In fact, I see that just the opposite. This is someone who does not follow the Master. He's a rebellious person. He does not want to do what he's told, and he wants to go off and do his own thing because he can get into heaven in his own way. And so, being a disobedient slave, this fits in very well. That the first ones, there were believers. The last one was a non-believer. And in fact, we even look at the relationship that they're talking about with the master. Because not only was the slave disobedient, he saw his master as hard. But what does that mean? Hard? Vengeful? Angry? Distant? Not really knowing him like the others? He did not do the work of his master, but went off and did his own thing. And we know a lot of people that are doing that. And so, definitely, he's a non-believer. But this particular slave knew that there was a reckoning day because he did not spend the money. He kept it just in case. In fact, we have non-believers in the church, like in the parable of the sower, going out there and the seeds cast in the thorns, they don't produce any fruit. But yet, Jesus really isn't Lord of their life. They're more like fake Christians. And they're going to end up, as it says there in the last two verses there, in the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And of course, this phrase throughout the scriptures refers to hell, a place where God is not. So I'm sure you know people that have their name in the church registry, but really never set foot in church, never do anything with church, never did anything with the church. But just in case, they want their name on the church registry. But the good news is, those of us who work hard for Christ our Lord, we will gain more authority, more responsibility, and we will reign with Christ in the new kingdom. So let me read about the previous story there at the parable of the 10 virgins. That's at Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, five of them were prudent. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in the flask and along with their lamps. Now, when the bridegroom was delaying, they had gotten drowsy and began to sleep. But midnight came, and there was a shout, and behold, the bridegroom. come out to meet him. And all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are growing out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealer and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those that were ready went in with him, and the wedding feast and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came in. Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Be on alert then, for you do not know the hour or the day. And as you can see, this was placed before the parable of the talents. And I think you can realize it's about the secrets of the kingdom. And again, verse 29 ends was saying, for everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. So, as we work in the kingdom of God, he will give us more things to work with. He will use us greatly. And of course, having more things doesn't mean you're getting richer. It means you have more authority, more responsibility. And in the new kingdom, it talks about in the Pauline letters that we will even have authority and rule angels. In Revelation, it talks about reigning men. So I want to wrap up my thoughts here, as I hope I have unraveled some of the mystery of the kingdom in this parable. For those of us who are faithful, work hard, we will be rewarded, as I've talked about in some of my previous messages. But also, not only will you be rewarded, but we will also rule and reign with Christ and be given more authority. In the millennial kingdom, we'll rule over angels and men. And it's all dependent upon how faithful you are during your life here on earth. The moral of the story is to work hard for Jesus' church, and it will be returned to you many, many more times over, not just temporarily, but permanently for an eternity. So go and do the Master's bidding and multiply what he has given you. In your hymnals to page 880, please read with me the affirmation of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, and true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scripture. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, whom with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism and the forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now for the benediction. May the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. Go in peace.